2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Good evening, everybody. This is your DFS Army podcast again. We're at week 15 already this season. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Not that any of us want to see it, but we can see it. I've been thinking for weeks about clever intros and all that. You know what? Let's just bring Kevin in and let's just get to this thing, because there's a couple of things to talk about that I know he has on his mind this week. This is our founder of the DFS Army, the football geek, Kevin. You can find him on Twitter at football geek. That's fantasy football geek, FF. Football geek, whatever, however you want to spell it. You can find us in the Army. I'm your host, Chapadong, and we represent the DFS Army, which we honestly believe is the greatest fantasy heaven on earth as far as the community, what our coaches and community provide to everybody. So Kevin, welcome back. Good to see you. Good to talk to you. How you doing?
All right, welcome back. Week 15, the fantasy football season. I'm excited. Most of us, or some of you, hopefully a lot of you listening, are in the midst of your fantasy playoffs, either getting that week bye or winning your week one matchups and hopefully going on to week two. So this is a really fun part of the year, and it's an interesting week for matchups, and there's a lot of interesting things going on as far as keeping an eye on different injuries and stuff like that. So we're gonna get into all of that. We're gonna go through this entire slate, every game. Figure out who the good plays are, who the bad plays are, where to stay away from, where the potential landmines are. And hopefully we won't have another chalk game explode in our faces like the Saints have done the last 2 weeks in a row with whoever their opponents have been. So we'll get into all of that.
Yeah, that was something else. Last week, 51 points. And for whatever reason, I kind of talked my way off of it. I didn't feel good about it, and I wanted to trust the numbers really, really bad. And I'm glad I didn't, because it's the only reason that I got even a third of the way to cash last week. But, you know, whatever. I did. I popped one nice lineup. Did you have a couple of goofy ones that ended up going off to kind of repair the damage?
I mean, I'm not going to call them goofy. In the Slack forums and in my room. There was a couple of all – I posted, listen, my two primary plays this week, A was Luck to Hilton and B was Winston to Evans. The Luck to Hilton lineups worked amazing. The Hilton to Evans the Winston to Evans lineups were not good, disastrous. The other thing I did last week was I went all in, and I called this out in Slack as well, on Jeremy Hill. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Hill went off for 110 yards. He got the touchdown. He brought in a bunch of passing yards. He had 20. He had an awesome day. So for me, I actually did really well. On FanDuel, I comboed, and this was more by stroke of luck than I love Le'Veon Bell. And when David Johnson's priced higher than Le'Veon, I usually end up with Le'Veon Bell because I have the same projection for both guys every single time. So I wound up with a lot of Hill-Bell combinations. I wound up
That was good.
And this is – actually, I'm going to get into something that I talk about in the article this week. And I'm going to actually tell the story of my lineup, and then we'll go into it.
Yeah,
so I did a couple of I've been changing things up. I actually did this past week – as the season rolls on, you want to keep – and this is what I wrote about in the article. I was kind of checking my results through the RotoGrinders DFS Analyzer app. Right, that's where they grab all of your records, from FanDuel, DraftKings, different, and they break it down, and they break down your profitability and everything based on the different types of contests you entered and whatnot. And you really want to do this if you're playing with any sort of frequency. It's very, very important because you have to understand the type of player that. Well, what am I good at? What type of contest? I there's certain things that I like to do that other people don't like to do, and vice versa. There are people who really like to look for that cheap kind of out of the blue, you know, shocker plays. I'm not so into that. I like to put together, you know, quality lineups across the board without the hopes and prayers. So I have a little different style. And so you want to see like what works. And I definitely noticed that my most profitable contests are higher dollar, sort of fewer entrant type GPPs, and of course, head-to-head contests, which has been my bread and butter for many years. So, you know, head-to-head still rolling at a 61% win rate. Awesome. Keep going. Do more of them. My small dollar GPPs, and especially qualifier entries, have not been profitable this season. So I'm like, wait a second here. And when I say small dollar GPPs, I'm talking about the largest ones, the 400,000 entrant one that they do on DraftKings, the 125,000 entrant one that they do on FanDuel. And mainly it's because I've been max entering those. And the problem with max entry, as fun as it is to do, is if you don't win the contest, and I mean win, by taking down first place or a top 10 finish, it's really tough to turn a profit over the long haul in those kind of contests. Now, I've had a win or two over the years, so my overall number, and I've certainly had a lot of top finishes. You know, I've been fortunate to have been playing for a long time. So overall, the profitability is there. But I was looking at the season result. I'm like, you know, these aren't really doing it for me. So last week, I kind of went a little different, and I jumped into some higher dollar smaller contests, and that worked out really well. You know, I had a 16th place finish in a $165, you know, 2,200 person contest or something like that. It was great. And I had a $100 entry. So some of these bigger dollar entries really worked out for me. And kind of the reason I jumped in is because I was tracking my results and I was seeing, oh yeah, these smaller sort of higher dollar type contests have been much more profitable than the massive, massive contest and trying to max enter that. So what I'm saying this week, and I've gone off a little bit on a tangent, is, and what I wrote about this week is, I want everybody who's listening to this to do the same thing. Get
all
onto,
four of you.
Yeah, well, yeah, three, four, however many are out there. Get on your tracker. Get on Roto Grinders on that DFS analyzer tool that they have, and look at what you've been good at. Try to figure out what type of player that you are. There's a few different ways to be successful at daily fantasy sports. You have cash players, you have tournament players, you have cash only, you have tournament only, and it's a mindset. There's no one formula that works. There's multi-entry people that make a fortune. There's other people who do one or two lineups. GPP contrarian thought versus trying to sort of keep it safe. All these different ways. There's a lot of ways to play. Figure out what you've been good at. Now, we're late enough in the season that we know, listen, we have a pretty good base with which to work. You know, it's not week three variants. It's almost a full season of daily fantasy football, just like with the teams. And that was the other part of it. At this point, a lot of these teams, we know who they are. They're not going to surprise us that much. You know, certain teams just suck. Certain players are not doing it this year. They're not going to. It's too late. Yeah, they might have a big game, but you know, we know DeAndre Hopkins, he ain't doing it this year. He's not the guy from last year. It's not happening. Todd Gurley, his ceiling is tiny. You know, it's not changing. So those are things that we are acknowledging as far as the season as it winds to an end. And it's a good time now, again, to look back at what you've been doing, focus on the things you've been doing well. Do more of that. Do less of the things that you've been doing bad. And then next year we'll come back and we'll set new goals based on what we saw from this year.
Awesome. Well, I think that's a great tidbit. I think it's funny. I will add one thing and then ask you a question. I dabbled early season with the quarter arcade, which was a very cheap way to kind of play multi-entry. I'd put 10, 20 lineups in there and kind of mess around. And it was pretty hard to put in $5 and get back more than about $8 or so. I mean, I could turn a profit, but I mean, we're talking about $2-3 profit. I wasn't going to win the quarter arcade that way. So I know what you mean by, I'm sure the more entries I put in there, the harder it would be to get all of my money back and then some too, even though I had a quote unquote, you know, better chance at winning with more shots at it. Do you have anybody in line for the VIP podcast this week? I know we kind of talked a little bit about a lot of guys were talking multi-entry, and we got a couple of guys in the DFS Army that either dabble with it or are really good at it. Do you have anybody to kind of tell people that that will be the focus of the VIP pod, or are you guys going a different direction?
No, we're going to go in a different direction this week, but I will do some pods specific to multi-entry. I don't think that we have enough people doing max entry to really have a big audience for that, but I will do a lot of that kind of stuff as we complete the domination station in the next few updates. I'll have an update coming very soon, next week or so. Hopefully that's going to sort of clean up some of the usability and functionality things that I personally wasn't happy with. And once we get that cleaned up, I will personally do some instructional videos and kind of let people know how I play multi-entry for different sports. I've learned multi-entry not just for football. I do it. I really like it almost more for some of the other sports, like definitely, you know, PGA and NBA and NASCAR and some of the other sports and of course MMA where you can hit the nuts. You know, I don't always use the tool for it, but nonetheless, multi-entry is a strategy. It's a style, and we do have some experts in it in our group that I will get onto the pod at some point down the road. Next, for the VIP tomorrow, I think we're going to get Keith on with us. We're going to talk a little GPP and more just NFL for this weekend slate.
Good. That's
player picks and stuff like that.
That was going to be my next question is who's it going to be and what are you guys going to talk about? So, yeah, awesome. Let's kind of dive in. I know that there was one little area you talked about with the weather. I actually spent some time looking up kind of the weather forecasts and stuff, and you mentioned polar vortex, which personally I believe is a little bit of a hyped thing that they used a couple of years ago to kind of freak everybody. All it really means is fucking cold air.
All right, weather nerd. Listen, I don't need to know anything other than one thing. It's going to be cold.
Well, there's a lot of outdoor games up north. And there's a lot of outdoor stadiums, you know, that are going to hit that cold weather that are hosting teams. And so it's definitely something to pay attention to. Let's lead into that first game. If you want to jump in, what do we got? LA at Seattle? Is that the
– We got LA at Seattle. The lowest total. One of the lowest totals of the season.
And a huge spread.
With that spread, the Rams actually have the lowest projection of any team for the season, which I believe is 12 points here. 12-point projection. So, four field goals going on here. Listen, there's not a lot. Obviously, don't play anyone from the Rams. I do like this game because we love a big spread when we're talking about running game and we're talking about defense. So, elite plays, cash plays, tournament plays. You know, I can't fade this Thursday game. Plus, it's fun to play the Thursdays this week because you have a Saturday night game also. But elite play, cash play, whatever you want to call it. Seattle defense, one of the top plays of the week. Thomas Rawls, one of my favorite plays. All in. If I'm playing the Thursday game, Thomas Rawls is in my lineup. He is, 100%. So I don't mind Russell Wilson and his pass catchers. I just don't think they're going to need him all that much. And so, you know, I'm very comfortable to fade the rest of that game. It is a Thursday. And so you don't want, people will have a lot of exposure to some of the other players in it. And there is a contingent of people that when they see a 14-point favorite tend to want to just play, you know, the quarterback and the pass catchers. And I think that's not the right way to play daily fantasy sports. So I don't do that. But I do like Rawls here. I do like Seattle defense very much. And that's about it.
Okay. Yeah, the only time I get excited about those big spreads with quarterback and receivers is when there is no running game. Because then there's nothing else they can really do. And even then, they still try to.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it on – yeah, I mean, I guess if this was Green Bay, I'd feel better about it.
Which is not, so we don't need to get off the tracks here. Let's move to the next one, Miami at the New York Jets. This is an outdoor game, and this is the theme in the Northwest this week is you've got that cold air coming in, and this is a rain-changing-to-snow type event. Now, again, no
even
accumulation.
Worse, by the
don't
way,
go
– nighttime game, so
– Right. Don't get freaky about it, but, I mean – again, just letting people know that there's weather in play here depending on the timing of everything. So like you said earlier, watch this stuff. Watch the forecast as they hone in as time comes down. Rain changing to snow, it's a nuisance. It makes things a little slick. It may not affect a ton, but it might affect a big play here or there, which is usually what, you know, you're kind of wanting to
look. It's interesting that it's raining. I mean, like I said, let's follow the weather closely on that one. Interesting rain that it's rain at all in such a cold situation. But here's what's going down with this one. Ryan Tannehill. I don't know what happened to this guy, but he's not going to play here. I don't know if he's done for the season. There's some conflicting reports. Hmm. But whatever, he ain't playing in this one, which means that the Jets are probably going to be competitive. Now, Matt Moore is not bad, his backup. Not bad at all. But between the conditions, I think it's Matt Moore, something Moore. Matt Moore? Yeah. Between the conditions, cold.
That's what you wrote down, but you usually write down David Carr, too.
So, yeah, I usually get the David Carr, I will get that wrong for many, many years, by the way. That's just one of those things. Like when your brain does not want to deal with that, it's just going to be what it's going to be.
Don't worry about it. I just had to fire that shot.
Oh, yes. But I will continue to get that wrong for a long time. Listen, in Dante Moncrief's first season, I kept writing Moncrief with a T, and I just couldn't get it right.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, I still have people. I still have people write me or tweet me like, "How about Moncrief?"
And they put that's funny. That's
where
you know
the team. Yeah, I'm like, hey, you've been reading my stuff for years. That's
right,
awesome.
Right. First time caller, long time listener. So you said Matt Moore's not bad.
He's not bad. No, he's one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league. But this is and the Jets obviously love to be generous to opposing quarterbacks, but. This is a tricky spot, again, with the cold and possible weather conditions. I don't think any quarterback is really excelling, depending on how that weather comes out. So, but what we do know is, with a backup in there, I could say, and the Jets at home, there's a decent chance that they could stay in this game, which puts Bilal Powell squarely on the radar.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of looking at Jay Ajayi as well as sort of this contrarian GPP situation. No one's going to be on Ajayi. They're going to still think the Jets have a good defense or whatever. But the Jets have quit. They're certainly quit on the road. Are they going to play hard at home? I mean, I don't know. I definitely give them a chance to quit in this game, which means that even though the Jets are considered to have a quality run-stopping unit, maybe they won't be able to stop. I mean, last week, Carlos Hyde literally broke records destroying the Jets. Now, you know, that could have been on the road, West Coast, quit. I don't know. But you can't write this guy, Ajayi, off. He's cheap enough that he's worth a shot. And he will be low-owned in this one with the stinky 38-point total.
Now, that's what I was going to say. So that said, maybe outside of a couple of, you know, cheaper plays or something like that. I mean, this isn't a game you're really focused on, is it?
No, it's a very low – a low-scoring game. It's a Saturday night. You're only going to have – exposure to this if you play a Thursday through Monday. So I mean,
just correction. Saturday night game. That's not rain changing to snow.
Oh,
rain changing to snow would happen if it was Sunday. I was assuming when I looked that up that it was a Sunday game. So
no,
change that. Change that. There may not be any precipitation in that one at all.
Let's watch.
I was assuming it was a noon game on Sunday. So anyway, disregard all that.
Let's pay close attention to the weather. And this is what I wrote. We're talking. It's Wednesday right now.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know what it's going to be on Saturday, on Sunday. These things change. These changes change from the morning to the afternoon. So we're just going to have to pay attention. This is one of those things that we just have to pay attention to this week.
Absolutely.
Now, if your rain changing to snow prediction is true for the Giants because they are playing on Sunday at 1.
Absolutely. And that game's a little bit – it's still a low total. I think that's going to be the theme with these outdoor games. You're going to see low totals because I think Vegas sees that there's possible – weather here, and then it's likely to affect all these games. So you got Detroit going into New York to play the Giants.
And by the way, and not to mention, there's other reasons for this low total, which we can get into. I mean, it's not just the weather.
I didn't mean to say the weather's the only factor. Giants 4.5 point total, 41.5 total on the game for, you know, implied points. Odell Beckham and who else?
Well, there we go. So most important note is both of these teams are pretty good defensively. The Giants have been, I would say, very good defensively this season, certainly at limiting opposing fantasy points scoring against them. So you're not like dying to – I mean, we saw last week with the Cowboys, Dez did nothing. Zeke Elliott didn't do much. So we saw – I mean, for Zeke, he didn't do much. I think he still put up 18 points, but nothing – compared to what he's done. So
I know I had higher hopes from him. You know, he let me down a little bit, but you know what?
He was
They're
fine.
Have those days.
If you played the primetime slate, it was fine. You had to use him because the other running backs didn't do better, but he didn't do his normal thing, and that's because the Giants are pretty good. Matt Stafford has a busted finger. I don't know how that affects him. So there's the running back for Detroit was out last week. The backup is terrible. They don't know what's going to be with Riddick. So the elite play in this game for me is Odell Beckham. He's at home. He takes a slant for a touchdown every single week, like clockwork. Why not again this week? He's certainly an elite play. I'm not going to play Eli Manning because he doesn't do anything outside of those Odell Beckham scores. And when I'm stacking a quarterback and a wide receiver, I really want, you know, yeah, I wanted that wide receiver to do a lot of damage, but I want the quarterback throwing some touchdowns to other people too. Yeah. You know, one touchdown and 115 yards to Odell seems fine for Odell, but it's not a good day for Eli. On the running backs and the Giants, unusable. The backups, any of the other players, unusable to me. For Detroit, I'm putting Golden Tate in there as a tournament play, not as a cash play per se. He's a little bit spendy considering what he's so volatile from week to week. But I do think they're going to need to score, and they're going to need to throw it to score. So Tate, Marvin Jones Jr. is back, Anquan Boldin. There's just a lot of guys on this team that that could wind up, you know, getting that one touchdown in a low-scoring game. It's hard to know which one it would be. It could be a bunch of field goals here, bad weather. Best left avoided, to be quite honest. But, you know, if you need to play it, I guess I'd favor Tate over the other guys.
So another game not to specifically focus on, but, you know, maybe there's, you know, like you said, Odell Beckham and maybe something sort of there, but not like
we're not excited for this game.
Cool. What do we got? Philadelphia at Baltimore next. Now this one isn't going to be a cold game, but this one is going to be another one where there's a chance of precipitation. So again, watch it. Baltimore's favored by 6 points at home. Philly's going in there, 41.5 point total again. Seems to be the early part of the slate's got a bunch of that.
This is a defensive game. Baltimore's good on defense. They're just coming off a loss to the Patriots, where, you know, to be quite honest, LeGarrette Blount had a pretty big day against the number one rushing defense in the league. But Baltimore's a good defense. They stopped the run. Now, I'd love if this game was not against Baltimore for Philly, because I like to see what Ryan Matthews can do with a full workload, considering that both Wendell Smallwood and Darren Sproles are not going to be playing in this one. So it's going to be all Ryan Matthews for the Eagles. The problem is they're at Baltimore, and Baltimore's the number one team at stopping the run. So, like, how good could Ryan Matthews really be? He's super cheap, $3,900 on DraftKings. You know, you like it, but, I mean, wow. It's tough. It's tough to play him. You got to play him at $3,900 or consider it, but it is the number one defense that we're dealing with here, so bear it in mind. As far as any other positions on the Eagles, no one is playable on this team. Maybe Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz has actually been pretty hot, averaging 10 targets a game for three, four, 5 weeks. So he's definitely playable. But again, this is a road game against a very tough defensive team. It doesn't excite me. I see Baltimore this season at Baltimore, and I'm just like, no, I don't want to play anyone. So that's my main thought.
Okay.
On the Baltimore side, they're now dealing with like quite a few different wide receivers that they're throwing to and a couple of tight ends. It's gotten pretty ugly in Baltimore as far as selecting fantasy assets because, you know, at one point it was Steve Smith Sr. all day. Then he went down. It was kind of Mike Wallace. Now, last week, I mean, in the last couple of weeks, you see Breshad Perriman catching touchdowns, Mike Wallace in doing his thing. You have Steve Smith Sr. Even Kamar Akins getting in on the action. So there's way too many mouths over there, not to mention Dennis Pitta. One week he's up, next week he's down. Not to mention some other tight end that emerged out of nowhere last week was catching passes. So I don't like it. I don't like any of it.
don't blame you.
I don't like that shit. What I do like is the fact that Kenneth Dixon Wall of Sun appears to have taken over sort of a featured back role, or at least if they continue what he did from last week, took over like a feature. But he played like 80% of the snaps last week, and he was in it all down the stretch of the second half. Dixon, now he's risky. He's a risky player because, you know, a guy like Kenneth Dixon, when you have two guys like that, you know, he can fumble and then like put him on a bench. They bring in West for the rest of the game. So this is a risky situation, but the two top plays for me in this entire game, Baltimore defense, anytime teams at home favored by six, low total, we want to consider using them, especially against a rookie quarterback who has no real quality wide receivers. And also, so Baltimore defense, Kenneth Dixon, and even the stack I'm cool with. I'm cool with stacking defense and running back. I like Seattle Rawls. I like Baltimore, Kenneth Dixon. There's a couple of potential stacks, but that's about it here.
Dixon's only 5,100 on FanDuel, just FYI.
Super cheap, and super cheap on DraftKings, 3,800. Like, you can.
Awesome.
I made my first FanDuel lineup of the week. I made it while I was doing this article, and I was talking about Kenneth Dixon, and I was like, oh, Kenneth Dixon. I put him in there. And that allowed me to get a bunch of stud wide receivers. Not that you really want that many stud wide receivers this season, but I made one like that. I made one like that.
That pretty much does it for any games that have a shot at rain or precipitation. That one. It kind of, it's all on the East Coast. This one though, now you're just going to the dead cold shit.
Wait, what do they call Chicago?
They call it the Windy City.
All right, so can we assume that there is wind involved in their games? Like
you would think. What's the mark you look for wind though? Because I've heard you say this several times.
15 miles per hour.
Okay, they're forecasting 13. So now again, I mean, we're talking about 2 freaking miles an hour.
And but by the way, this is too soon. We're too early. We need to check this on Sunday morning. So I'm gonna take that with a grain of salt because wind forecasts I do not think are accurate multiple days.
No, typically not. But here's what is accurate is the temperature. The high temperature on Sunday in Chicago is supposed to be -1.
Yeah, see, that's pretty intense.
That's pretty freaking cold. The overnight low Sunday night is -16, and I want to say that it's like -2 the night before. So, I mean, they're going to wake up, it's going to be like -2. The sun's going to come out warming up to -1. I mean, you're going to have a freaking cold, cold game. Green Bay can handle it. Chicago can handle it, but it's not a game that is really conducive to a bunch of crazy crap, you know? I mean, it's going to be a pretty traditional game, yeah?
Can these guys play in the cold? Of course they can. They're from Green Bay and Chicago. But no one likes to play. I don't care where you're from. That affects things. You know, it affects the extreme cold. Makes you just want to run it. It makes you not want to tackle. There are certain things that happen. So, you know, we're gonna play it as always. Here's the thing. This is a very low total game. Green Bay heavily favored, but a very low 42-point total. Probably, again, because of cold and potential weather conditions that we don't know about.
Also, division rival second. There's a whole bunch of factors.
But I mean, Chicago is also a team that's quitting. So there's that. Mm-hmm. They will quit. So, you know, on the Packers side, we know who the players are. Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams. The Chicago defense doesn't have anyone who can stop, who to be scared of at any position. So they're all in play. Nelson, Devontae Adams. And, I mean, the big change from this past week to this week, right now, Starks is dealing with a concussion, not that he's been playing much, but it looks like they've kind of moved back to the Ty Montgomery in the backfield scenario. And I like Ty Montgomery when they feature him, especially in a cold game where they have to run a lot. Now, they're going to say, well, Montgomery and Christine Michael are going to split carries. And I've said this before, and I say it again. Christine Michael is not a player that's going to pick up a playbook in 2 or 3 weeks and be able to run a lot of plays with him. They'll bring him out. He'll have 4 or 5 carries like any other big, you know, back type player, but they're not going to let him play a lot. So I think it's going to be the Ty Montgomery show. He wasn't even in my write-up because the Starks news hadn't happened yet, and I definitely don't like the three-way split thing that they've been doing. But now that sort of Starks is concussed and out of the way, yeah, I like that situation. Now, the other thing that's coming up a lot this week is Alshon Jeffery returning from the PED suspension. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with Alshon? I don't know. I really don't know.
Do you dare dance with the devil?
I mean, this is a big season-long question that people are wondering about, too. I mean, he's on my bench. Should I play him? I don't know. It's a pretty good matchup at home. I mean, technically, on paper, yeah, you should probably play him. He's at home, good matchup.
I feel sorry for the guy that has Allen Robinson and Alshon Jeffrey right now on his season-long team and has to debate what the hell to do.
Listen, if you have Alshon Jeffrey and Allen Robinson on your season-long team, you probably didn't make the playoffs, so you don't have to worry about it.
Good point.
You're not worrying about it too much. So the team, Ty Montgomery, Aaron Rodgers is playable, even though, again, it's so freaking cold that he's probably not going to throw a lot of touchdowns. But you know what? Aaron Rodgers' salary is not that high. The guy is remarkably consistent. He has not come in under 19 points, maybe once this season. The dude is remarkably consistent. Like, he does not give you bomb games because they have no running back getting touchdowns. But nonetheless, he doesn't give you bomb games. So, Aaron Rodgers in play here. Adams, Nelson, but obviously, weather permitting, I don't think this is going to be a place where you get a lot of fantasy points.
So would you save Aaron Rodgers more for cash than GPP type stuff because of the upside?
Yeah, it's definitely more of a cash thing because
he's more of a floor guy.
Yeah, he's not getting you a 36-point performance this week. No, he's not going to – he's in play in the way that like last week when every single quarterback shit the bed. And so if you got Andrew Luck at 22 points, you're like, yeah, dude, I fucking rocked it. You know what I'm saying? Like – I rocked it with because everybody else did shit. I mean, Cam Newton, I didn't watch that game. I still don't understand how they got 28 points and Cam Newton only put up a 12. It was, and then I'm like, all right, well, it must have been Jonathan Stewart. No, he didn't do anything. I checked the whole team. Nobody scored. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck scored. I think their defense was scoring. I couldn't find anyone. When I was researching for this week, I'm like, oh, man, maybe Greg Olson had him. No. I'm like, well, it must have been Teddy Gittin. No. Kelvin Benjamin. No. I don't know who scored. How the hell did they get 28 points? Who scored? The defense? Four times? Who the fuck scored?
Those are the only good things. When you look at your quarterback score first and go, my God, my guy only got me 14 and then whatever. And then you look around the league and the high guy has like 22, 23. You're like, God, it didn't kill me though. Jeez.
You're like, yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right with that.
No, I can roll.
As long as you had Le'Veon Bell, you were okay last week.
You got anything else from this one?
No, that's basically it. So we're just dealing with the whole question of
defense. Green Bay defense in play?
Sure. If you want to play a road defense, why not?
Yeah, they're road, not home. Never mind.
No, they are playable.
They've been playing okay, and it's 6.5-point spread and all that.
I'm going to give you a crazy psychological scenario that I like the thought of. So Matt Barkley, everybody thinks he's a piece of shit, right? Comes out his first couple games looking bad. Last couple weeks, he looks okay. You're kind of like, Matt Barkley, he didn't throw any interceptions. Now people are talking about Matt Barkley. Like, wow, this guy could be a legit number two backup quarterback in this league. Like, you know, he looks pretty good out there. He's hearing this stuff. He's like, finally, after all these years, I'm sort of representing. And maybe he's been a piece of shit third string. I mean, piece of shit. I'd kill to be a third string quarterback. But, you know what I mean? He's been the scrub of whatever team he's been on. An afterthought. Now people are like, oh, Matt Barkley. All right. That kind of stuff goes to your head. You start to think about it. Like, oh, now pressure starts to come in. Like, oh, shit, I need to put up another good performance here. You know, everybody's talking about me. And, you know, that could make you screw up. So for a guy like Barkley, you know, he's a rookie. He's not a rookie, but he's like a guy who's never played before. His head is all spinning. Sure, play Green Bay defense as an in your GPPs. There are such lock, chalk defenses this week that you don't want to mess with this stuff in your cash lineup or in your hybrids even. Screw that. I mean, I will take the Bills or Seattle. But, I mean, in the case of GPPs, yeah, I mean, we saw last week the Falcons on the road put up 27 points. That's how you win a GPP. Mm-hmm. You got the 27. Like, what were you thinking taking the Falcons? Well, Jared Goff sucks and they're on the road. And all of a sudden, that guy got 28 points and he won the contest. That's how you take down that first place. That's the shit going back to what kind of player are you? Like, you ain't winning the GPP unless you nail this wacky defense that goes crazy. That's just how you win it. And if you're not willing to take those chances, don't even bother. Do contests that don't require you to do that to win. Totally separate note.
That's this guy right here. That's I'm not saying. In those contests because I know where my mind
don't,
goes.
Stick with smaller. Even you should play GPPs, by the way. Just don't play the 100,000.
Right.
Yeah, don't play 100,000 entrants. Do one that has 800 or the 500 entrant ones or the 2,000 entrant ones, the winnable
Absolutely.
Ones. They're winnable. These other ones aren't. All right, Minnesota Colts, big game.
Outside again, you think that Green
no.
Bay?
Wait.
Is Minnesota a dome? Their road caved in. Did they not build a new stadium?
Yeah, they have a stadium. And it has
no,
a dome.
Did they not build a new one?
Yeah, they have a dome. That's indoors.
Then never mind. 72 and sunny. Because I was gonna say outside it's gonna be even colder. I'm maybe thinking of their baseball stadiums outdoors.
No, this is an indoor game. Unless I'm crazy. Wait a second here.
No, you probably are right. Okay. Way more than I am here. I'm probably got it confused with Target Field, which is their baseball stadium. So anyway, so weather's not a concern here, even though it's gonna be cold as shit outside. It's gonna make freaking Chicago look like Miami. 4-point favorite at home with Minnesota, Indianapolis, 44.5-point total. Take it away.
All right. So the big news is Moncrief is out for the Colts. When he goes down, the Colts are pretty much down to just one viable target in the passing game, which is T.Y. Hilton. Well, the Vikings have a pretty good quarterback in Xavier Rhodes. As a matter of fact, he's possibly the best cornerback or one of the best cornerbacks in the league by far. What does it all mean? It means that the Colts are going to have a hard time moving the ball. A, the Vikings play good defense anyway. B, their back's against the wall. Now, the Colts' backs are against the wall, too. They need to win big time if they're going to hang around and have a chance at the playoffs. But it's going to be tough for the Colts because, again, if Xavier Rhodes is blanketing T.Y. Hilton, who the hell are they throwing it to? Dwayne Allen and Jack Doyle? Those guys aren't good enough to do anything. So this is a tough situation for the Colts. I mean, there's a reason the Vikings are favored, low scoring. I think the Colts are going to have a hard time scoring here. I felt the same way. You know, when T.Y. Hilton was supposed to be out a couple weeks ago, when the Colts don't have two weapons to throw to, they really can't function well as an offense. And so I'm worried about – I'm not playing Andrew Luck here. I'm worried about this Colts team in this particular game. Again, the Vikings are hungry for this win. So I'm leaning Vikings to dominate this game. I just think that Rhodes, you could shut down T.Y. Hilton if he's the only guy. He's not the kind of wide receiver that can carry a team. Philip Dorsett is not good. He's had opportunity, hasn't done anything with it. And those two tight ends are just not – there's just not enough offense here. Frank Gore, late in the season, he's beat up. You know, he's been almost an ageless wonder, but again, he's dealing with a very, very tough Vikings defense. I don't expect Gore to have some big day. So this is a tough spot for the Colts. I'm not on any of them. As far as the Vikings go, they have sort of moved away from this short passes to dig 16 times a game concept that really wasn't working that well for them earlier in the season. And now they're doing they're actually using Adam Thielen and more as like a deep threat role. So I like Thielen in this one because he's cheaper than Diggs by a lot. And they've been using him just as much, but for deeper passes. So I like Adam Thielen in this game. You got to like Kyle Rudolph facing the league's worst tight end defense in the league. So Rudolph should get a lot of targets. And my sleeper in the game – I mean, I guess you could play Sam Bradford if you want to play both of those guys. Not going to be something I'm going to get excited to do, but you know, if you have a death wish, you could certainly play him. And then, but my sleeper in this one is Jerick McKinnon. A lot of targets last week, a lot of touches. Seems to be more kind of settling into the featured role, and the Colts are a league worst run defense. You know, why not take a shot? With McKinnon, it's a punt play. You're really going to need him to break one. Like he'll get a lot of carries. He'll get volume, especially in a winning effort. And that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting a winning effort from the Vikings. Lots of runs. Lots of McKinnon. Asiata, of course, is going to vulture those goal line plays. So for McKinnon, it's just what he does.
It's going to be my question. I was going to ask how worried about that you are, but if you're saying this is like a GPP punt type situation, you don't care.
I'm expecting it. It's not that I'm just worried about it. I'm fully expecting Asiata to come in the short down and distance situations, including the goal line. They will not run McKinnon inside 5 yards, so you're not going to get the cheap touchdown. What you're hoping for here is that he breaks one against the soft defense, or that he does enough to justify his $3,900 or $4,200 DraftKings salary just based on some receptions, yardage, different things like that. That's not going to get you a monster day. What will get you the monster day is if he happens to break one. And that's possible. Could he break one for a 60-yard touchdown against a soft Colts defense? Absolutely. Are we counting on it? No. But I think there's a floor there that makes it okay and an acceptable punt play if you're saving enough salary.
Okay. Anything else with that?
Nope. We got the next game.
I Google imaged it. Yes, it's an indoor stadium.
All right,
I want to say there's something I remembered about that year they were constructing. They maybe played a season out. So there's something there.
There was an outside. Yes. There was a season.
It tripped my mind. So that's why I was thinking that. But anyway, next game going into Buffalo, where, again, we're talking about not as cold, but we're talking about cold. Cleveland at Buffalo, 10-point favorite for Buffalo and a 43-point total. So this one has to have McCoy and Bill's defense written all over it. So what else do you see?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to know why. Like, RG3 is a epically bad quarterback at this point. Like, something we haven't seen in a while in this league. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick style bad from earlier in the season. So he's terrible. That's important to note. And the Bills' defense is pretty good. They're opportunistic. They've been putting up points. So, wow, what a situation to play defense. There is never going to be a more chalky, ideal time to play defense than this Buffalo defense against Cleveland here with RG3 at the helm.
Well, so there you go, cash gamers.
Yeah, this is the guy you're going to use, right? And LeSean McCoy, defense and running back goes hand in hand, as we've said a couple times. Want to pair them up, especially when you're dealing with the Cleveland defense, which is epically bad at stopping running backs. So, I mean, this game sets up pretty darn well for LeSean McCoy to have a big day. He's one of the most expensive on the slate for good reason. Mm-hmm. This is a great situation. I mean, there are other great situations we'll get to, but this one's great. The tournament play in this one is Sammy Watkins. He's cheap still. He's relatively low cost on all of the sites. I don't care which one. And Sammy Watkins, I mean, they're going to throw it a couple times. Yeah, sure, we're expecting Buffalo defense. We're expecting a big dose of LeSean McCoy. And I generally prefer wide receivers in games that I think are going to be competitive back and forth and whatnot. But we don't need that much out of Watkins to make value. He really just needs to break one. And he's been getting a lot of targets. He's the number one receiver. He's now 3 games off of his injury. He's getting healthier, or should be getting healthier every week. I'm not hearing anything about him being limited in practice or missing practices or the foot becoming sore or anything to raise a concern. And unless something like that turns up between now and game day, I'm willing to take a tournament GPP shot at Sammy Watkins. He's not going to be in my cash lineup, just because I don't think they're going to need him. But they didn't, I remember a few weeks on Thanksgiving when the Steelers didn't need Antonio Brown, and yet he put up 3 touchdowns.
Just because, yeah.
You know, sometimes it just happens.
For no reason. Yeah. What would you say if I said that the air temperature 23 degrees and the wind's about 18 miles an hour?
I mean, it makes just better for Buffalo defense and LeSean McCoy. I mean, that's –
I was asking specifically for Sammy Watkins.
Yeah,
your answer probably is check the forecast Sunday morning.
I mean, definitely. We're going to check the forecast. That is a weather game.
Yeah. Well, outdoors, Buffalo.
But it blows even worse for RG3. You know, like, Which is turnover prone enough. Now he's going to have to deal with wind and cold, and it's just going to be a nightmare.
Get one to sail on you.
Yeah.
Another traditionally windy one is the next game, which is Tennessee at Kansas City. Arrowhead Stadium outdoors, obviously. 5.5-point favorites at home, 43-point total. Again, I know there are a couple of bigger totals. We have yet to really get to one that's over 44, 45 points. Is this what do we do with Spencer Ware?
I'm not playing Spencer Ware. I'm
crying out loud.
I'm done with him. All right, don't play Spencer Ware.
Good
done
Lord.
With him. He's way too expensive.
I agree, but I'm just – the games are setting up for him on paper so well, and the dude can't come through.
No, don't play him. Even when he had the big week, it was all short. It was all touchdown sort of high variance touchdowns. He didn't get the yardage because they're handing it off to a couple other guys. They're giving they're using Tyreek Hill as a running back on certain plays. They're bringing in Charcantrick West a lot. So Ware just does not get enough of a workload to justify his price tag at all.
Right. So we cross him off the list. Who do we focus on?
Well, let me just take a broader picture. I like Tyreek Hill, but the broader picture is when you're talking about the Tennessee offense, no one's going to you're not making a lot of money in daily fantasy sports by going heavy on a team playing on the road at Kansas City. Just not. Kansas City is pretty good at limiting. Like, these games are always low scoring. Especially at Kansas City. They're always these defensive kind of games. They're a very opportunistic defense. They get turnovers. You're not doing a lot of you're not winning tournaments playing the Titans offense here. I do like Delanie Walker because his price has dropped so low because of the perceived bad matchup that it's actually ridiculous. I think he's $3,900 on DraftKings. DraftKings is much more aggressive this season than I've ever seen them at changing prices week to week. I mean, they're really all over it this season, and they're changing them based on the matchups. And FanDuel doesn't really do that in the same way. And so it's interesting how those two things differ, and we'll see what happens when they merge. But, I mean, I've been riding the Tyreek train since it pulled out of the station. I mean, we've all been on it, I hope. He's been highlighted on my picks, I don't know, three, four weeks in a row. Yeah. The dude has been money. He's a special player. They run plays specifically for him. They run this sort of college-looking I'm not going to call it a wildcat, but this play where Tyreek Hill just sort of kind of runs across and crosses in front of the quarterback. He pretends to hand it to him sometimes and runs a play, or sometimes does hand it to him. So they get running gadget runs with him. I like Tyreek. I mean, he scores a touchdown or a punt return. Like, this guy can do it all. He's very fun. So I like Tyreek again. Not on DraftKings. I cannot justify 5,700 because 5,700 really requires his ceiling to even just pay off at all. Like, Tyreek Hill has been good for 22 points on a great game. At 5,700, I almost have to expect that he's going to get around that much. So I can't justify that price. But on FanDuel, if you want to find a cheap wide receiver that has, you know, 18-point potential, you know, for under 6,000, that's the guy. Travis Kelce's been pretty good.
Pretty good.
I mean, he's been great. He's been averaging 10 targets a game.
Yeah.
18 fantasy points the past 4 weeks in a row. 10 targets a game going back 6 or 7 weeks. That's great. For the Titans, again, it's a brutal matchup. On the road at Kansas City, this is a divisional matchup. You're not excited to really roll out anybody here. If I need to play their guys, it's Walker and DeMarco Murray. It's just Rishard Matthews is the primary wide receiver. Now, I don't see them having a huge game. Like, this is very tournament only. I actually have to change some of the stuff I did in my column here because I like this game more until I did a little bit more digging here. I've rethought it. I was a little bit higher on the Tennessee offense initially. But I really don't like any team at Kansas City almost ever.
So does that mean the defense is in play for you?
It would be much. It's definitely playable. Like if I'm doing a GPP and I wanna, it's not in my top five. But if I was doing a GPP and I wanted to get 10 different defenses mixed in because, you know, it's GPP and let's go crazy with it, yeah, I'd probably put them on the list.
You'd rather play Buffalo, though, is what you're saying.
I'd rather play Buffalo than pretty much any defense I've ever seen ever.
Just gauging it.
Yeah. But no, you know, if I was doing 10 of them, it might make the list, like the Chiefs. All right, I'll do, you know, 5% Chiefs or 4 or 3% kind of thing. And just, you know, Chiefs can have that day. But the Titans are not generous to opposing defenses. So that's really the reason why I'm not super excited for it. The Titans just don't turn it over that much. They run, you know, they play a very conservative game plan, so they're not going to turn it over enough to really make it worthwhile.
Okay. Anybody else that you like in that one?
No, that's about it. We got next one's another shitty game. Yeah.
Jacksonville at Houston. Granted, Houston carries a 5.5 point spread here. They're favored by 5.5. Another 38 point total.
Are the Jags this bad? By the way, I think this is one of those games where I think this line is off. I'm not crazy. I think this line is off. Are the Jags this bad? They're only going to put up, 14, 13 points in this game?
That's 17.25 minus 2.25, so 15 points. Ugh.
Yeah, it's very few. This projection is really low. I think Houston's defense might be a little bit overrated in this spot. I could see that. Houston, they have no offense, so it's not like
part of – I wonder who I'd rather take, Houston or Kansas City defense.
To me, you could play Houston defense. That's not what I meant. You could certainly play. They'll turn it over. It's Jacksonville.
I thought I heard you say defense.
No, I do mean that. I mean Jacksonville offense on the – the question is, can the Jags score here? Because I'm looking at players like Allen Robinson at this point priced below Tyreek Hill.
Wow. You'd have never thought that.
He's below Hill on DraftKings this week. He's super cheap, like punt level, below Kenny Britt kind of cheap. So it's like, wow, can I play Allen Robinson here? What about Marquise Lee? Are they playable? Now, normally you say 38-point total. No, don't play anybody from this game. But at some point, that's really, really low cost. This is a nice dome game. It's going to be beautiful conditions and all of that. It's one of the few games this week that we don't have to worry about, weather. And why not? Why can't Allen Robinson have garbage time scoring like he's done in the past? Now, part of the problem is Houston's not generally going to take a big lead because they suck also. And so this could just be this horrible back and forth defensive sort of stinker, which is why it's scary. But, I mean –
that means it'll probably be my game of the week regionally, and I'll have to watch it.
Oh, yeah, right. They're going to stick you with this one. No. It could happen. So it could go either way, but I could also see a situation where the Jags come in and win this game. Houston's coming off I believe they beat the Colts last weekend, some sort of a miracle. And I don't know how Houston wins with their terrible offense, but somehow they squeak out these victories. I don't even know what they're doing. But they're coming off like that. That's probably, sometimes when you have such a big win like that, the next week you kind of let down a little bit emotionally. So I wouldn't be surprised if sharp bettors, and interestingly, the line has gone a little more towards Houston, but up 39.5 now and 6-point spread. So it's gone a little bit more to Houston.
But that doesn't make you want to target it for DFS, though, does it?
No, but I kind of would bet the Jags in this game if I was a betting man.
Is there any play DFS-wise in this game that you're really excited about outside of that Houston defense maybe?
No.
So no. Then you just pretty much write the game off and hope it's not your regional game on TV?
Yeah, definitely.
No offense to Houston and Jacksonville lovers, but I mean, I don't watch it.
Don't watch that one.
All right, New Orleans at Arizona. Finally, we got a game that projects to score some damn points. How chalky is this damn game going to be with a 50-point total in a close game? Arizona's only favored by 2.5.
Well, the Saints. So,
and it's not in the dome either. It's in Arizona, so
it might as well be. I mean, it's beautiful weather. It's not going to be an issue. It's Arizona. So here's the thing: the Saints have been busting lineups for weeks. This is multiple weeks in a row where, let's target the Saints defense.
Drew Brees has not thrown a touchdown for 2 weeks.
Part of the problem is this. When the Saints are allowing a lot of points, it's because they're scoring a lot of points. That's when everything's clicking. We want Drew Brees doing well. We want the opposition doing well. We want lots of scoring going on. And when something goes wrong, the whole thing goes off, gets sort of messed up. Right? How is it even possible that the Saints on the road last week held Jameis Winston to no touchdowns? They held Mike Evans to nothing. Like, I still, what happened there? How are they sacking Jameis Winston on every other play? Like, are they good now? What, is their defense good?
Outliers.
Well, it seems like that. But then a week before, they were doing the same thing. Who the hell was it?
I think it was Atlanta, wasn't it?
It wasn't Atlanta.
I don't think that.
It might have been. Who the hell was it? But nonetheless, yeah, like, this is now a few weeks in a row. I did a little research on this, but now I forget because, hang on, I'll tell you here. Saints. Yeah, Detroit, yeah, it was a lot. Well, no, the Lions put up decent numbers against them. Lions put up decent numbers. All right, they haven't been a few weeks in a row. I know that I'm looking at it. It was just that the Saints were shit on offense, actually, the last couple of weeks in a row. That's what it was. So the Lions put up 28 points on them. Okay. So the only Tampa put up only 16. So this was really the first thing. So regardless of all of that, I like Arizona and their entire offense in this game once again. So basically my point was going to be, I'm going back to it. As much as the Saints busted up lineups last week, playing what looked like quality defense against the Bucs, I'm going back to the well and targeting offenses against them for this one, which is the Arizona offense. Carson Palmer, J.J. Nelson, Larry Fitzgerald.
He's one you mentioned in Slack earlier today that I liked, where you said Floyd got cut, he's gone, so big bump to J.J.
Massive
bump. Or somebody brought that up and you agreed with it. So, to give credit where it's due, it was –
No, it was – Floyd is out. Floyd, like, we knew – it's funny because I had written up the Vegas line column before that. And what I wrote was, listen, Floyd got busted for a DUI on Monday night. They found this dude passed out in his car just like a disaster. He's been terrible this year. And then I started to think, like, he's been terrible, like brain fart terrible, like dropping easy passes, just not playing well. Then I started to think, you know – he's been playing really bad. Like, not like no opportunities. I mean, like dropping pad, like bad. He's been in the games and just dropping everything and just not on his game. Now he's got the deal. He's passed out in his car. Cops pick him up. Like, maybe this guy is really fucked up in the head. Maybe he's got big problems. Maybe he's an alcoholic. You know, maybe he's got a drug problem. I don't know. But I started thinking like that, and then they're saying, all right, they're going to discipline this guy. So I'm like, you know what, he's probably – even if they didn't cut him, I said, you know, I doubt that they're going to play Floyd this week after this DUI. He's been playing like shit anyway. They got to set an example. I would actually have been happier if they didn't cut him, because then I could probably get J.J. Nelson for really, really low ownership. And the reason I say Nelson and not John Brown is just because John Brown has the sickle cell issue, and it is messing up his stuff. Right. It is just messing up his stuff. So you can't trust John Brown to make it through a game. I mean, last week he got zero targets. Like, he gets hurt. He's got this – he's trying to figure out how to deal with his illness, and he hasn't gotten there yet. So I'm not touching this guy. He's putting up zero after zero after zero. So who are they going to throw to? Fitzgerald and J.J. Nelson. J.J. Nelson's a big play guy.
A little bit of DJ dump off.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to throw him mostly to DJ anyway. And Jermaine Gresham, I mean, you've seen Jermaine Gresham all of a sudden is being used because they have no one else to throw to.
Fancy that.
You're right. Yeah, I mean,
somebody mentioned that about 2 weeks ago.
But notice, again, he's not putting up big numbers because he's Jermaine Gresham.
He's not getting the end zone.
I mean, I wouldn't show up just getting nines and tens and 14. Like, he's not, like, doing well. But, I mean, at 2,500, that's fine. But the point is, they have to throw it to someone, and you know, it can't be Larry Fitzgerald or David Johnson every single time. So I like obviously David Johnson. Ultimate matchup. New Orleans is bad against the run. Larry Fitzgerald I like very much. J.J. Nelson, Carson Palmer, I'm down to play him this week. I don't like anyone on the Saints, in this game. I don't care. I see it's close. I see it's high scoring. I don't give a shit. I'm not using them. I don't know which guy they're going to throw to. Arizona's got a really good secondary. Screw that. None of them.
This is lopsided chalk.
Yeah, and my top plays are Palmer and David Johnson. I'm going to put Palmer cool. in a lead play category this week. I really like him.
Cool.
No one's playing him. He's going to be low-owned. And J.J. Nelson, if the price is right, and I think it is, let me see what his salary is on DraftKings. $3,900. That's the – yeah, we like that. $3,900. This guy has 29-point ceiling. He's done it. He's done it this year.
He's in a spot to test it.
Yeah, he's done it this year. I mean, if the game goes according to Vegas, sure. Even if not, I mean, he's the only game in town. He's going to get a couple of receptions. It won't be hard to pay off on $3,900.
Awesome. Anything else out of this one?
No, that's it. And we get Actually, this is exciting.
Let's take a quick break. This is usually where we pause, give people some information on joining the DFS Army if they like what they hear and they want to get more of your advice and things like that. So let's take a quick pause here for a few seconds. We'll come back and we'll hit the Atlanta game. All right. We're back after you heard a little bit of that information. What we were talking about before, you were saying another stinker. This is a San Francisco at Atlanta with Atlanta with a 13.5-point spread. I don't see a total on this one. Is there one now?
No, and that's what's weird. It's now Wednesday night, and I'm still not seeing a total for this game. And I can't for the life of me understand why. Like, what's going on
here? Yeah.
Is it Julio? Is he going to play? I don't know. Well, like, what is the problem here? But still no total. But what we know is probably not going to be high scoring, and San Francisco sucks to the level that is almost historic. So what's going to happen here? The Falcons are going to dominate defensively, most likely. It's going to be a lot of running.
Wow, fancy saying that.
Yeah, isn't it weird the Falcons are going to dominate? Hey, they just dominated the Rams last week, put up 27.
You're right. It's odd to hear.
This is a playable fantasy defense. This is what I'm saying. If you're doing GPPs, yeah, you could play Atlanta here. Now, the 49ers are not super turnover prone per se. Colin Kaepernick just can't throw. Like, he has no accuracy, and they have no wide receivers on the 49ers. So that's an issue. For the Falcons, Julio didn't play last week. He's still going to be hobbled here. They're smart. The smart move, if I was the Falcons, I would sit Julio. There's no way I'm playing him in this easy game. They should be able to win it, just throwing it, running it with Tevin Coleman, running it with Freeman, throwing a pass or two here or there to –
must be getting late for you.
Yeah, it's getting late here. But, you know, a pass or two here or there to Taylor Gabriel. You know, you want to play Gabriel. But here's a DraftKings, those mean people. They jacked up the salary of Taylor Gabriel to 5,600. Like, you can't even punt with these guys anymore. They can't be played. Like, these guys who we're punting with, like the Tyreeks, and once they hit 60, like, once they're in the high fives on DraftKings, they've already kind of gone out. Now at this point, we want to just not bother because their ceiling is. They need to hit their ceiling just to make value, and that sucks. So, you know, you can still play these guys on FanDuel where they don't jack up the price that much. But on DraftKings, it's really, really tough to play even a Taylor Gabriel. But nonetheless, I like him here. I mean, he's in a good spot. The Falcons without Julio in there really don't have a lot of other weapons in the passing game. Obviously, they have Freeman and Coleman, who I think will do most of the damage in this one. But, you know, Taylor Gabriel on the right web, on the right site when the price isn't too crazy. On the flip side, last week Carlos Hyde went off for 200 yards against the Jets. He's been running really well. There is a game flow difference here where I think that the Falcons will be up big very quickly in this game, and they're not going to be able to, like, the 49ers aren't – it's not going to be like a close game like it was with a shit team like the Jets. In this case, they're going to be getting their asses kicked. So when that happens, I'm just not expecting the same amount of volume for Hyde. But we can't deny the bestiosity that he did last week, 200 yards, and against an Atlanta not good run defense.
Right.
I could see him having a nice game, even if it's just like on 16 carries or something. But he can certainly have a nice day. I could see San Francisco sort of hanging around for a little bit early in the game before sort of Atlanta runs away with it. They'll still run it a little bit. So Hyde is definitely only a tournament play for me. I would not play him in cash. But there's always that possibility that has a big game, just like last week. My favorite play of the game is Tevin Coleman. You might say, well, why not Devontae Freeman? Say it. Why not Devontae Freeman?
Why not Devontae Freeman?
Why not Devontae Freeman, right? Because they both do the same shit, and Tevin Coleman's 2,000 less. It's like paying twice as much for phone service to only get 1% more quality.
Ooh. Yeah, I hear a phone sponsor coming on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sprint is joining us as our new That's sponsor.
Right. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear? Yeah. You know that commercial, though? It's like, why pay more? But would you pay half more for 50% more? No. So I'll take the cheaper guy that's getting the same amount of touches and the same looks as the more expensive guy and hope that I'm right. I'll save the $2,000. I'll spend up somewhere else.
There you go. What else do you like out of that one, or should we move on?
No, that's it. That's it. And we've got another rough game.
Yeah, let's go out to Denver. New England travels out to Denver up to Mile High. New England carries a 3-point favorite out there, but it's a 44-point total. God, what the hell here?
Well, here's the deal, right? Denver stops the pass. That's what they're good at. Now, the Patriots are going to be able to score on Denver because they're the Patriots, but they're not going to do a lot of it. So we have this cold weather Denver situation going on. For all we know, it's going to be a blizzard during this game. I have no idea. It's Denver. It's December. Polar vortexes are hitting all over the place. Who knows? Assuming that it's not, and again, I don't. It's too early in the week to really deal with that. Assuming that it's not, it's going to be tough to play a lot of Patriots pass catchers against a Denver defense that just shuts these guys down. So I'm a lot more interested in the Denver side because I think the Patriots will eventually – they'll find a way to score. I just don't know who or how. So I'm looking at the Broncos. And also the Broncos have had the Patriots number a little bit for the past couple of years. So looking at the Broncos and assuming that the Patriots somehow figure out how to score, and it could be like a toss to the – like somebody you weren't expecting. Manny Sanders has seen ridiculous target amounts.
Sure.
One of the beautiful things about the Broncos offense, and there aren't a lot of beautiful things about it, but right now one of the beautiful things are they only throw to two guys. They throw to Thomas and Manuel Sanders. They don't have other people that they're throwing to. There's no tight end. There's really not a third wide receiver that's viable. They don't really even throw to the running backs. So, mm-hmm. like, every pass that's completed is going to Sanders or Demaryius Thomas, which is great. I love that. Now they don't really have much of a running game, so even more so, like Simeon is actually the godfather of the team.
I didn't see that one coming.
Listen, he's no godfather. I've met the godfather. I know the godfather.
I did not see that one coming.
Trevor Simeon's not the godfather, but he does get a little piece of the action. He's the Denver version of a godfather.
Wow.
He's basically like selling weed out of his trunk of his car. Like, no, he's got a dispensary.
It's the Godfather's power hungry son that just can't get it done.
Yeah, he's basically Fredo.
There we go.
He's Fredo.
Do you worry at all about Belichick shutting one of those two guys down, taking away their best players?
I mean, you're gonna shut them both down?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
No. Because if he takes out one, I mean, there's another guy. Like they're interchangeable pieces. Do we think that Belichick is going to go into Denver and be like, oh, Simeon's going to beat us through the air? I need to worry about that.
No,
would imagine he would say we need to stop the run and force him to beat us through the air.
Yeah, and I get that. I just remember you said can't take out more than one guy. I remember back in week one or two when they were out in Arizona and they specifically took away the deep ball. And I mean, we always hear Belichick takes away one player.
He does. He took away their strength.
Well, their strength might be short passes with these two guys. So I was wondering. I threw it out there to see what you'd say.
I'm always worried about Belichick and his evil genius mind. But yeah, you're right. It's not always just a player. What he tries to do is take away the opposing team's biggest strength. Mm-hmm. I wish I knew what the biggest strength of the Denver offense is.
Belichick might not even know.
That's what I'm saying. If I don't know, maybe he doesn't know.
There we go.
I don't know. But awesome. if their biggest strength is throwing it deep, all right, throw it short. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not it. I don't know if they have a big strength. Yeah. And so he might not be worried about
That's how you beat Bill Belichick. You actually don't let him take out because you're not good at anything. So then he's all befuddled. He's like, I don't know what to do with these guys. I can't take the deep ball. They suck.
Reverse psychology. If that was the case, the Rams would have kicked his ass.
That's true. that's right. Well, the Rams should beat them. No, yeah. They suck at everything.
Anyway, what else you got out of this one?
That's pretty much it. I'm not comfortable. I'm not a big, like, Denver is bad against the running backs guy. I don't play running backs against Denver. I don't like playing anybody at Denver, even when it's Tom Brady at the helm. And I'm telling you, they're going to score. They're going to score. The Patriots don't screw around. They always score. They're better than everybody on offense. They're the best offensive team. They're always going to score. They can beat this Denver defense.
Look at what Brady did last week. I mean, four touchdowns, whatever. I mean, the dudes, they can play. Absolutely.
But they can beat this Denver defense. The Patriots' offense is better. But my issue is, are they going to put up enough fantasy points to make it worth my while to pay up for these guys? You know, I don't know where the points are going to come from. So, like, am I paying top dollar for Brady at Denver? No. It's not a good spot for him. Like, he can win the game with three touchdowns, and maybe that's not enough to get me value at his salary. So I'm not going to play it. I'm not touching these guys, but I don't have a problem with somebody who chooses to do so. Just know that it's more of a tournament situation.
Makes sense. You want to move on?
Absolutely.
All right. Oakland at San Diego, 50 point total again. So we got a little bit of something to talk about. Oakland's favored by 3, obviously a division game. So fired up. Who do you like in this one?
I mean, on paper, I think it's important to note that this is probably the best matchup to target of the week. It's in San Diego. Perfect weather. 50-point total. Close spread. On paper, you're not going to find a better spot because both teams can score. So this has that shootout potential that we're looking for in a GPP game stack situation.
Right? Oh, here it comes. House of Pain time.
Suck it up, suck it in. I'm not quite ready for that, though, because there is the one red flag, which is this is a divisional game.
Right.
And those games tend to have muted fantasy scoring, especially the second one of the season. The other thing is, listen, San Diego's kind of reeling. They just lost Gordon for some period of time. Tyrell the Gazelle has a busted finger or a busted labrum. Never a good thing for your wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Brown hasn't done shit in a while. Like he got a bunch of targets last week, but he hadn't had a big game in a long time. So you have some question marks there for both sides. On the other side for Oakland,
Antonio Brown. Did you mean Gates?
Yeah, Antonio Gates.
Okay, I was really stunned by that.
Antonio Brown's not in this one. No, Antonio Gates. Yeah,
gotcha.
He hasn't done anything in a while. Splitting TEBC snaps with the other guy there, so
yeah,
it's a tricky situation. On the other side, David Carr busted finger. That's not good on his throwing hand. Michael Crabtree busted finger. Never a good thing for a wide receiver to have busted fingers, as Sammy Coates will tell you.
But I mean, is the busted finger on his catching hand?
Yeah, there's only one hand. Both hands are your catching hand.
It's so getting late. I'm getting slap happy.
There we go. So, I mean, yes, it's definitely on his catching hand, Bunch. So, I mean, that's a problem. Now, I like the busted finger for the fact that, hey, we're going to have to target Kupski a little bit more. And maybe, just maybe, Cooper, who has a little case of Michael Floyditis recently. will straighten up his shit and fly right, you know what I mean, and start catching these passes that come his way. You know, part of the problem with Cooper last season was he was a big dropper of passes. And he was kind of avoiding that earlier this season, and now he's kind of back to his, like, dropping passes ways. And he could be such a beast if he just concentrates. And you know it's in him. You know these big games are in him. And maybe this – I mean, he'll never have a better spot. It's just – you know, again, with Crabtree potentially going out there as more of like a decoy with a busted hand. And I don't know. I don't know that any of this is true. I'm just surmising. I know Crabtree's finger's busted, but maybe it's fine. You know, like, maybe he can catch with that. I thought that of Sammy Coates, too, originally. I was like, meh, they're not going to run him out if he can't catch the ball. And then he couldn't catch it. He just could not catch it. So I don't know. But I assume that it will be a Cooper, not a Crabtree day. But the question is Derek Carr's finger so messed up that he can't deliver an accurate pass? I don't know. There's no way of knowing that. Last week he continued in the game with the finger busted up. But, I mean, last week he played horrible. So I don't know what to take away from that is. I mean, he put up 5 fantasy points. Now, it was at Kansas City, but maybe it was the finger. I don't know. No one knows. You don't know. No one knows. We'll find out. But for now, no one knows. So
this is kind of a take several pieces of the game, but don't necessarily go crazy.
It's tough. It's tough. I'd love to stack this game because there's not many to choose from, but there are red flags in this game that people need to be aware of. So with Rivers, my favorite stack is probably going to be Rivers Inman. Inman's been hot the past few weeks. With Gordon out, this is another thing, right?
This is usually something that you look forward to, though. You got a guy moving into a role, but I mean, who?
It looks like, based on last week's game, it looked like it's going to be Ken Farrow.
Okay.
But here's the problem.
But do you like him enough?
No, because, I mean, yeah, he's playable, but here's the thing. Ronnie Hillman's on the team also. He's there for a few weeks. Doesn't know the full playbook. Last week when Gordon came out, it was Kenneth Farrow who really stepped in. Hillman got a couple touches, but it was mainly Farrow. But Rivers was sacked like 5 times in that game, and a couple of them were Farrow's fault, not blocking properly. So I'm definitely going to wait for some reports out of San Diego discussing him. I want to hear what the coaches have to say, because Farrow's some undrafted free agent. He's not like a premium backup player. We've never heard of this guy. Anybody who tells you they have is lying. No one's heard of him. All we know is that he got a bunch of touches last week after Gordon went down, and Hillman didn't. But I've heard of Hillman. Like, he does have pass protection in his background. He's a player that's able to protect the passer and be involved in passing down situations. He's very new to the team. I'm not sure how much of the playbook he even knows. So that could be a problem. I don't really know. If I knew that it was going to be Farrell all the way, I love the backup running back thrust into a starting role, but I need to know that he's the legit starter and he's going to get workhorse touches, or else it remains very, very risky.
Gotcha.
The other guy I like here, I like Inman. I like Lats Murray. Cooper, tournament play. Farrell, more of a tournament play. Tyrell, more of a tournament play for me.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Sounds good. Pittsburgh, 3.5-point favorites headed into Cincinnati. This is typically a showdown. 44.5-point total. I don't know. Everyone's going to be loving Le'Veon and Antonio and all that kind of stuff. But where do you see the best plays coming?
Yeah, I mean, remember, it's a low total for a reason. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati always play each other tough and low scoring. This is definitely a letdown spot, another potential letdown spot for the Pittsburgh offense. So this isn't some, hey, let's load them up, killer bees in our cash games. Absolutely not. These two teams play each other tough. They play each other all the time. Cincinnati has a plan to take Antonio Brown out of the game. They play him all the time. Like, they've game planned this. Just like when the Giants played, you know, Dallas last week, and they were able to take Dez out of the game completely. They have a plan for that. They know the player. They play him all the time. Divisional game, when I've watched Cincinnati and Pittsburgh play each other, especially in Cincinnati in the past, the games have been low scoring. That doesn't mean that past performance is indicative of future results, but that's what it's been.
Your Edward Jones pamphlet of disclaimers right there.
That's my stock brokering background at play. It's something to be aware of. Now, I always love Le'Veon Bell. Every single week in, week out, but Le'Veon Bell's the man. He's going to be the man here. I don't know about weather in Cincinnati. I'm sure it's going to be nasty. Ohio is just always horrible in the winter.
I won't even look it up for you.
No, it doesn't matter what it is today. It's going to change. But it's going to change. We know it's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. So who do I like here? Cincinnati may – the other factor is Cincinnati may get back A.J. Green this week. We don't know. I'm not going to play a guy coming off injury. I don't care if they get him back. I'm assuming no, but even if he did play, I'm not going to use him. Obviously, Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, quality plays. But especially with Brown, I would use him with caution, knowing that Cincinnati is pretty good at stopping him or game planning to sort of take him out of the game a little bit. On the Cincinnati side, I like Jeremy Hill again. Why not? He's at home. He's getting a full workload. He's the man. So, yeah, I'm going to use Jeremy Hill. Tyler Eifert's been awesome for Cincinnati, and the Steelers are not particularly good at stopping tight ends, so I like Tyler Eifert in this one. That's mostly it. I'm not using the quarterbacks here. I'm not using the defenses. Not really interested. Oh, the last guy is Ladarius Green, who everybody jumped on last week. He disappointed. Probably going to have a lot fewer cheerleaders this week for Green. But, he's still in the same role. He's a puntable player if the price is right. I don't see him as a TE1. But, he's certainly a usable guy, especially he's the one player, I guess, on Pittsburgh that Cincinnati doesn't know. So maybe he can be like a sneaky sort of divisional surprise. Just came up with it.
There you go.
Dallas,
Tampa Bay. This Sunday one's night. In Dallas. Dallas is the 7-point favorite here. 46-point total, like you said. Sunday night, primetime game. What about Zeke and Mike Evans, man?
Yeah, what are they going to do? They're both good. They're both going to do good here. Dallas is, again, it's one of our opportunities to get a weatherless game. Mike Evans has been slumping. The whole Bucs offense, as much as they've been winning, they've been slumping a few weeks
he's
in a row.
He's my biggest question mark because he's still priced up there.
But Dallas is definitely vulnerable to the pass. They haven't been that good at stopping the pass. They haven't been good at against WR1s. I do think that this will be a situation where – see, here's the difference between – this is what leads to fantasy scoring. When both teams are kind of playing each other close and tight and low scoring, yeah, that doesn't really lead to a lot of fantasy goodness. But when it's – picture the scenario where Dallas is at home. They kind of get off to a pretty quick lead. You have the Bucs go into catch-up mode. That's when the fantasy points bonanza begins. They're tossing it. Dallas is kind of playing soft here because they're running all over the Bucs. Now, the Bucs have been pretty good defensively for actually the last 4 or 5 weeks. So this is all sort
conjecture.
Of conjecture. Yeah, let's call it conjecture, right? I'm not sure if this is going to happen, but
gotta use
good.
A big word.
Like the Bucs are not known to be a very good defense, but they've been playing well. So maybe they stop Dallas. Maybe that goes on. But more likely, they don't. More likely, Zeke Elliott at home runs all over them. Dez Bryant has a nice day at home, under the roof, on the Astro tarp, whatever. What are they using now? They have a really cool surface now. AstroTurf, no.
It's really probably cool heated and air conditioned and has little hair dryers that
they
pop up.
They have this amazing new sort of turf that has this little like it's soft, it has these little balls.
It's Jerry's world, man. It's Jerry's world.
They got good stuff. So, at home, I see Zeke doing well. I see Dez doing well. Dez is more of a tournament play because he's super volatile since coming back. I could see Dak having a nice game. But mainly, your stars look good here. Zeke Elliott, I don't mind – pairing up Zeke Elliott and Mike Evans in the same lineup is sort of a game stack potential.
Good place to Vegas.
The best scenario for the Bucs and for Evans is for them to go down early and play catch up. That's where you're going to have some Evans goodness. The other guy for the Bucs is Cameron Brate. And Brate's been a reliable sort of yeoman-like tight end this season. He gets his 5 receptions. He gets his 55 yards. He might get you a touchdown. He might not. My reasoning for using Brate a lot last week still stands with a couple of the other wide receivers for the Bucs injured right now. I do think they're going to have to use the tight end position a little bit more than they had. So Brate has the potential to sort of pass his like 60 or 70 yard ceiling in the right scenario. But the other big one that I'm looking at is just an avoid, and it's avoid the Bucs running game. I'm not touching Doug Martin. He's splitting touches with both Jaquizz Rodgers and now Sims is back as well. I don't like that situation at all. So I'm not touching the running game for the Bucs. I'm going to stick with Quiz was a premium backup because there was no one else.
Right.
In this case, well, you got Jaquizz, you got Charles Sims, you got Doug Martin. I mean, it's too many names. And they're all getting touches. And I don't like it. So I'm not touching any of that. So basically, Elliott, Evans, and maybe Dez, and Cameron Brate.
Monday night.
Boom.
Monday night, if you're going to play the second half of the primetime, or you're going to play a Thursday through Monday. We got Carolina going to Washington. Washington's 4.5-point favorites, 51 point total. That's the juicy one.
This game makes you want to play the Thursday through Monday slate to get a piece of it.
Sure it does. Well, who do you like in this one? Now, I'm a big Kirk Cousins fan. I think the dude's ultra consistent and has the upside to win you a week if things break for him. So I'm a big Cousins fan. Who do you like?
I'm cool with rolling out even Kirk Cousins naked in this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In this. Kirk Cousins, as a matter of fact, if I'm playing the Monday, the Thursday through Monday slate, in a cash game, I will lock in Kirk Cousins every single lineup. That's how good I like and how good I feel about Cousins at home.
I almost heard all in there.
It's hard to say all in because this is not really part of the main slate of games.
Right.
But as I said, there was a couple other good situations. I can't see really not using Kirk Cousins, especially in a cash or a head-to-head type lineup.
$7,500 on FanDuel.
He will be in every single lineup that I do that allows for him to be in it. So let's just get that out of the way. And the reason is because Carolina can't stop the pass. They're pretty good against the run. Blah, blah, blah. They're not a great defensive team. Washington plays better at home. They've got an arsenal of weapons that part of the reason why I consider playing Cousins naked is because this arsenal of weapons, when Cousins has his massive game, a few of these guys can benefit. But it's tough. I mean, Crowder and Deshaun Jackson and Pierre Garçon and Jordan Reed, somebody's got to not have a good game. Couple of them. Like, not all of them can have good games. So I don't know which guy it's going to be. I don't know the difference between Jackson, Crowder, and Pierre Garçon. They all get similar looks.
I'll make a deal with you. I will show you before lock. I'll text or email my stack with Kirk Cousins to you, and you can avoid that guy because that's the guy sure to shit the bed.
Please let me know.
I'll do my best.
So basically, I'm going to base my stack on whoever
I don't take, right?
Don't
or use. whoever I take, you avoid. You pick somebody else.
Yes. So you'll let me know. Results.
That's how it works.
Go for Garçon, because I really want to use Jameson Crowder.
There you go.
All right, there we go. So other tidbits in this game for the Redskins, you have Jordan Reed. What to do? What to do? What to do? Carolina, not good at stopping tight ends. Statistically, it's a good spot for Reed. But is he healthy? Yes, I know he played last week. But he only got the one reception. Like, he didn't do anything. So is he healthy? I'm going to watch reports before I get too excited about Reed. I'm still concerned that he's kind of playing through an injury, that he's not fully healed up. I like to see some involvement in a game before I start to go back to a player, especially an expensive one. So that's a wait and see for me. I'm going to wait to hear reports. I'm going to read the blurbs and see if I can glean any more information about Reed and his condition. The other guy I like is Fat Rob. I mean, who doesn't like Fat Rob? Dude is the man. Seriously, like, if you don't like Fat Rob, there's something wrong with you.
If you've got the stones to call yourself Fat Rob.
Fat Rob is awesome. Okay? He's got the best nickname. He's not fat. That's what's awesome about it. Like, he's Fat Rob, but the dude is all muscle. And he is the man. So, I don't see any reason not to play this guy. He definitely has a shot at a goal line touchdown, maybe two. He could have a big day. Carolina on the road hasn't played well the season as a whole. Panthers, kind of weird season for them. Definitely a down year. So, while Fat Rob isn't a top play for me, I mean, he's certainly playable. I was having a debate with some friends over whether to use, you know, the choice between where. You ready for this? All right, this is interesting. We're going off topic for a second.
Be my guest.
I was having a debate with a friend of mine in his fantasy playoffs whether to use Spencer Ware, Fat Rob, or Dixon from Baltimore. And the first thought of everybody was like, oh, Spencer Ware. I got to use Spencer Ware. And I'm like, really? Do you have to use Spencer Ware here? Like, I don't know. Yes, he has a good matchup, and that's fine. And again, he's usable. I just don't like using him because he disappoints week after week after week, in DFS especially. But he's usable, and certainly in season long, he's usable. The Titans are not a good defensive team at all. But Dixon is the highest projected of the three. And for DFS purposes, he's well into the cheapest price. And then Fat Rob was number two. So it's like, wait a second. As much as our first reaction was like, where, for sure. He was the lowest projected of the three.
Man.
And for good reason. Oof. I mean, Ware just disappoints. Even that big game he had a couple weeks ago, he didn't really have such a good game. He just scored touchdowns. Here, let me go back to it. He had a 20-point day. Oh, Ware is awesome. 14 attempts, 29 yards. Touchdown. And then, like, he didn't do anything. 17 attempts, 64 yards. 2.8, 2.8, 3.8, 2.1 yards per carry. This guy has had some disappointing games. So I don't trust him. 5,700, way too expensive for DFS purposes. Now, looking at the Panthers. Now, I went totally off topic there just because of my little debate. Looking at the Panthers... This is another team that's really baffling. I love playing Cam Newton. I think I'm just nostalgic from last season. Because he hasn't been doing a whole lot this year to get you excited. I mean,
he's like, not having an MVP year.
No. And so I kind of look through everybody and like, who can I play in this one? Because you really want to get a piece of both sides of this game. Kelvin Benjamin, to me, is DeAndre Hopkins level unplayable at this point. I don't know what's going on, but Washington also happens to have a quality defensive back in Josh Norman. So I think that Kelvin Benjamin sort of gets negated by a guy like that. Can't play him. Greg Olsen, yes, please. I like Olsen. Olsen might be my favorite tight end of the slate.
Wow, that's actually saying a lot.
Yeah, I think he's my favorite.
Because he's been bad lately.
He hasn't been great, but it's not his fault. It's just his team is shit. But he's getting the most targets. The game is projected to 51 points. And if we believe Vegas that this will be close, somebody's got to do the scoring for the Panthers. And if I'm looking at their team, the two guys that I think have the best chance of doing the scoring, A is Greg Olsen by far, and then B is probably Ted Ginn. So those are the two guys that I'm looking at as far as on the Panthers side for offensive production, Olsen being my favorite. Then Teddy Ginn being more of like a punt kind of situation more than anything else. But I do like this line. It's the highest total of the slate. I want a piece of it. You know, you want to get – we got to get involved with these high-total games. So Olsen's my best way on the Panther side of it. And then Ted Ginn would be second. I don't trust Kelvin at all. And Jonathan Stewart never does anything, so I don't trust him either. That's it.
There you have it. There you are.
There we go. I think that's it for the games this week, unless
that's I'm not
forgetting one.
Well, no, I don't think you are. Once again, this is DFS Army Podcast. I'm Chopodong on Twitter, and you are FF Football Geek, Fantasy Football Geek, basically. You can find it if you search it. You're going to be, you said, hooking up with Keith on the VIP podcast.
Yeah, I will tomorrow. Be back tomorrow night. I'll get talking Keith GPP. On. We'll be talking more player selection, player picks, QB stacks, stuff like that, GPP, hybrid, cash, that kind of thing. And we'll just get into talking a little bit about the slate this week, and I'll go through my player picks. And
sounds like a winner. You know what, guys? It's not too late to become a VIP. We do a lot of NBA. That's where you're going to hear a lot of Keith. Keith and Alan and Scani and those guys do a great job. We've got all of the major sports covered. So this isn't just a football website, a football VIP program. If you're on the fence, jump in, give us a try. You will love our Slack community, I promise you.
So Domination Station, by the way, our optimizer, we're weeks away, maybe even less than a week away, most likely a couple of weeks away from launching our NBA product, which is going to be awesome. Our projections are already, I believe, the best in the business.
Projection.
Yes, and I think as we apply that to our optimization tools, it's going to give our members an edge over everybody else like no other. I really think projections and really optimization is so much more important in basketball than any other sport. So that's really why I'm pushing to get it done right, and why I think our projections, the way we're doing them, are unmatched. There really isn't going to be
Our guys are going to be so excited when that product comes out for NBA lineup helping build NBA lineups and whatnot. Those guys are sitting there salivating for it to happen. So that's good stuff. We got
literally weeks away. I'm in touch with the developers. They were busy. Our developers are they come from they're Russian, and apparently they've been busy involving themselves with some hack, some email thing. I don't know what the hell they were doing, but it delayed them.
I knew you were going there.
Delayed them a little bit. They were busy affecting our election.
They were busy trying to win themselves a president.
They were affecting our. So these guys, listen, they can multitask, but at some point they're like, guys, we were distracted, but we had some other shit we were taking care of. I was like, hey guys, what's the holdup?
My phone is blowing up with cancellations now that all of our members are telling us if they're Republican or Democrat.
Don't tell me. I don't want to know. They're like, listen, Manya. We have to take care of some other things first. Then get back to your bullshit.
Give me a Russian godfather.
Well, let me tell you something, Manya.
There it is.
It is
definitely late at night.
Yeah, it is late. So that's it for this week. Listen, I everybody, wish you all the best of luck.
No, thanks for listening.
Lineups,
absolutely.
If you're listening to this and you're one of our send VIPs, we'll talk more in Slack. If you're not, I will see you in the lobby on the DFS sites. Let's have another great weekend. It's only a couple weeks left in the season. You know, it's week 15. If you're still playing, you've already done pretty good. You know, you've made it through a whole season. If your goal should be, let me make it through a season. Let me make it through a season with a slight profit. You're doing good. You know, you're having fun. You're playing every single week. You're watching all the games. It's awesome. So let's keep that going. We only got a few weeks left of football action and then a very, very long off season of nothing. So enjoy it while it's here.
Sounds like a winner. Awesome. Thanks for the time, Kevin. Obviously, I'll talk to you tomorrow, and everybody else, we will see you when we see you.
That's it. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code podcast on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.